Heard pain tell love, she said. Where would I be without you? Chapter 2, by Trying. Content warning. Brain weasels. Feelings of worthlessness as well as hints of ableist thinking. One bright moment is all I ask. Pippa's magic does help. Hecate's hands stop trembling long enough to feed herself. If she holds the spoon clumsily, grips it too tightly, Pippa does not remark. To move up to her own room and settle. The move, the exertion required to take all those stairs, warrants a nap. After that, she manages a hot shower, stands under the running water as long as she can. And when she cannot stand any longer, she stoppers up the tub and soaks in the bath with the water as hot as she can stand it. These are luxuries she does not usually allow herself. A strict 15-minute soak to warm and relax her muscles before exercising, or after a particularly difficult day, is usually enough. Shower spells are so much more convenient for hygienic purposes, and save a great deal of time during long and busy days filled with classes and marking and detention and patrols and all manner of administrative duties. Not knowing when she will be able to do those things again frustrates her, and, perhaps even worse, makes her feel utterly useless. But this is nothing compared to her inability to cast. She's barely even managed to wash her body today. Hasn't so much as touched her hair. She has already resolved not to use Pippa's magic, to hold it inside of her and let it do what it will. Technically, she is strictly prohibited from performing magic for her own well-being at the moment, but Miss Baum's opinion frankly doesn't matter much to her in her current state. She knows that her magic is impossibly fragile. She knows that she must nurse it back to health. She wishes that her body did not have to be nursed back to health in the meantime. A quiet knock comes on the door mid-afternoon, after she has finished the soup Miss Time brought up for her for lunch, but before she's quite committed to reorganizing her personal bookshelves as a means of distraction. Enter, she calls, and turns to see Pippa's blonde head peek through the door. You're still here, Hecate remarks, pushing a stubborn lock of hair back behind her ear. Evidently, she sounds unwelcoming, because Pippa's smile falters a little. She clears her throat, does her best to soften her tone. I thought you'd left. No, no, Pippa says, flicking her fingers dismissively. I've just been with Miss Cackle. Hecate does not get much time to consider why Pippa might have been with Ada for the last several hours, because she suddenly produces a rattling tin from behind her back. As Morgana leaps down from her perch on the bed to investigate, weaving around Pippa's legs with a purr, Hecate frowns slightly. I don't know how your appetite is, but I know they're mostly just feeding you soup, so some nuts, dried fruit, just a few tidbits to tide you over until supper, if you're up for them. Pippa pauses for a moment, looking suddenly uncertain, but the expression is gone almost as soon as it appears. I assume you're still eating a couple of smaller meals during the day? The thoughtfulness warms Hecate more than it ought to, more than she can say. She drops her gaze for a moment, fiddles with her watch chain, as she remembers their early school days, when Pippa had snuck tidbits from the kitchens for her between meals, or brought her semi-sweet biscuits from home, and later, when Pippa had accompanied her to the kitchens when she went down for the snacks Cook devotedly kept about for her. Even since the spelling bee and their reunion, Hecate's relationship with Pippa has been rocky, to say the least. She has spent so long convincing herself that their friendship never could have lasted, that Pippa had every reason to hate her, that it is easy to be guarded and cautious, so easy not to trust. And yet, here she is, with a tin of snacks in her hand. Such a small gesture, but such a thoughtful one. And here Hecate is, with Pippa's magic inside of her, quite literally giving her the strength to stand upright, to square her shoulders and meet Pippa's gaze. And Hecate remembers that, for all Pippa's sometimes overbearing enthusiasm, and for all that Hecate has watched her step on more than a few toes in her exuberance, she is thoughtful and caring and good. And Hecate doesn't deserve any of it. "I am," she manages quietly. "Thank you." Pippa seems to take this as permission, moves a few steps further into the room to set the tin on Hecate's desk. "You're welcome," she replies, just as softly. Actually, Morgana becomes quite ornery. Hecate pointedly ignores the disapproving look from a fluffy butt cat at Pippa's feet. "If I don't keep to my meal schedule, so it should be quite helpful, I think." "Good. I'm glad," Pippa says. The conversation feels so awkward, so stilted. Hecate feels her chest clench up a little. But then Pippa moves closer, and she has a hand outstretched between them, palm up, as if inviting Hecate to give over her own hand. "Come sit," she suggests softly. "Let me do your hair. I don't know if that bun of yours is quite in my repertoire, but I can plait it, at the very least." Hecate's impulse is to refuse. Yet, left to dry on its own, and without the aid of magic, taming her hair seems like an insurmountable obstacle. Managing its length and curls is a lesson she knows she will have to learn, and soon. But for now she nods, reaches out to place her hand uncertainly within Pippa's, and lets herself be led to the bed, where Pippa settles on her knees behind her with brush and pins. "Do you want it up, or just plaited?" Pippa asks, as she works her fingers gently through a few tangles at the end. "It doesn't matter," which is unhelpful but true. If she cannot wear it the way she has for some 35 years, what it looks like makes little difference, so long as it is tidy and out of the way. Pippa does not seem to mind. She merely picks up the brush and works patiently at Hecate's hair until it is smooth and free of tangles. "Are you feeling better?" Hecate hesitates for a moment, then gives one quick, small nod. "Yes." "Good." Pippa rises up behind her, combs back a bit of hair to start a French plait. It feels nice, Hecate realizes, but she doesn't allow herself to dwell on the thought. "I don't know how long my magic will last if you don't use it, but, well, I'd like to think that won't matter. Hopefully your own magic will take its place before that happens. Ada seems to be doing well. She won't be participating in any duels anytime soon, but she's certain it's growing day by day. Just a little, just slowly, but growing, so that's something." "I suppose so," Hecate murmurs, though the reality of the situation is truly beginning to sink in. It's not just her magic she has lost. It's very much her way of life, and her way of combating, or at least navigating, the pain that follows her everywhere she goes. Morgana brushes against her ankles. Hecate takes stock of her body, then moves her hands out of her lap, and the cat leaps easily into her lap to settle, curling against her belly. For a moment, Pippa doesn't reply. Then she tries again. "I'd like to write a paper about this, or co-author one at least." Hecate winces at the suggestion, that old distrust flaring up again, with the uninvited thought that Pippa is only here to use them. She curls her fingers into Morgana's fur and closes her eyes, parting her lips to speak again. But Pippa beats her to it. There's just nothing left from the rare instances of this happening before. It doesn't matter that Founding Stones fail so rarely. Knowledge of what happens, what to do, what to expect, should be accessible. Some old witch who saved her coven by restoring a stone's power 250 years ago shouldn't be a bedtime story. Mirabelle Hubble sacrificing 12 generations of magic to restore a stone and save her coven should be in every piece of literature regarding Founding Stones, as should the fact that magic doesn't just miraculously return to the witches and wizards who were near it when it failed. It should... Pippa. As much as it softens her that Pippa cares about more than just another published article, Hecate does not have the energy for one of her lengthy commentaries. Pippa seems to understand. "Sorry," she says softly. I'm just... frustrated." "You're frustrated." She can't quite keep the barb out of her tone. "Yes," Pippa replies gently. "I want to help, but I don't know how." Hecate swallows, absently stroking Morgana's cheek with a curled finger. "You don't have to, Pippa. It's not your obligation." Pippa sighs quietly behind her, twisting an elastic into the braid at the crown of her head. "That doesn't mean I don't want to, Hiccup." Hecate can't imagine why Pippa would want to expend her time and energy here, on cackles, on her. But she does not argue, falls silent again instead, as Pippa draws the rest of her hair up level with the plate, twisting it into a bun. "Miss Cackle offered me a guest room, if I wanted to stay the night," Pippa says quietly as she fixes a pin into Hecate's hair. "But I didn't want to accept, without knowing if you were okay with it." Flexing her fingers, Hecate hesitates. "You're Miss Cackle's guest, not mine," she says carefully. Pippa gives a short, breathy laugh behind her, and Hecate can't imagine what it means. Still, she keeps fixing pins into Hecate's hair, securing the bun against her head with deft, careful fingers. "And yet, I still find myself wanting your opinion," she replies with equal care, tone veiled and unreadable. There's another long stretch of silence before Hecate relents, closing her eyes and breathing deeply. "Then stay," she mumbles. Finished with the bun, Pippa slides a hand down to Hecate's shoulder and squeezes gently. "Okay." Pippa spends the rest of her afternoon with Miss Cackle, who, while initially a bit wary, seems to have come around to the belief that Pippa really is here to help. She's not blind, likely realizes Pippa is most interested in Hecate, but they don't speak of it. Instead, Pippa helps Ada with several logistical issues, joins the staff and students for dinner, and passes a span with Mildred Hubble, who gives her a card with a delightful painting of a black cat, and asks her to please take it to Miss Hardbroom if she's going up to see her again. She does visit, to wish Hecate good night, but this time when she knocks, there is no answer, despite that a sliver of light shines from beneath the door. Pippa eases the door open to stick her head in, finds Hecate perched on the edge of the bed, face pressed into trembling hands, Morgana circling her feet in agitation. "Hecate?" she asks softly, still halfway in the door. "I'm fine," Hecate replies too quickly, not looking up. Pippa slips inside, closing the door gently while she glances around the room, taking stock of her surroundings. Hecate is dressed in a conservative nightgown, hair mostly free from its bun. A few pins have bits of it hung up in a tangled mess. and her dress from the day hangs haphazardly in the open wardrobe. Something, an energy, hangs restless in the air. Pippa frowns, focuses, feels nothing in particular. But eyeing Hecate for a moment, she carefully sheathes her magic, tamps it deep down inside of herself. She closes her eyes, breathes, and recognizes the tingle of her own magic in the air, tinged with something dark and uncertain. "What have you done, Hecate?" she asks softly. She isn't trying to sound accusatory, but Hecate flinches anyway. "Were you casting?" Hecate hunches further over her knees, clasps her hands behind her head. "Old habits," she mumbles into her knees. "Clothes off," she adds, and Pippa moves a little closer to hear her better. Night clothes on, clothes in the wardrobe, hair down. She shivers a little, then barks a single note of dark laughter, and Pippa's heart breaks. "It takes so little, usually. I didn't think." "And it took all of mine, because your body is learning to use a new tool." Hecate doesn't respond to this, doesn't move. So Pippa stands in silence for a moment, before moving toward her. "Well, give me your hand. I've got plenty, and you can't..." Hecate flinches away, despite that Pippa is still several feet from her. "I don't want your magic, Pippa," she spits, dropping her hands away from her head and staring into her open palms. Pippa feels something inside her twist. She sighs softly, wanting nothing more than to reach out. "I know," she almost whispers. "I know. I know, Hiccup. You want yours, but..." "It's been 30 years, Pippa," Hecate snaps. "Do not presume to know what I'm thinking, what I want." Her heart isn't in it, Pippa can tell. She knows. She knows, despite those words, that this is Hecate Hardbroom defending herself, building up walls, pushing others away out of some absurd perceived need. But that doesn't stop Pippa from going rigid, straightening to full height, with tears sparking in her eyes, from shouting back, "And whose fault is that?" For a moment, the air around them is painfully still. And then Hecate lifts her head. Just a little. Just enough. Her eyes fill when they meet Pippa's, and she jerks her gaze away again suddenly. Pippa can see the way she swallows, hard and heavy, before speaking. "I'm sorry," she whispers. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean that." Pippa sighs, deflating a little, takes a cautious step forward. "I think at least part of you did, Hecate," she says softly. Hecate shrinks back, as if waiting for a blow, but doesn't argue the point. And Pippa feels her eyes fill again, feels the impulse to sob overtaking her. After all these years, Hecate is still that stubborn teenager, convinced that everyone else is better off if she is alone. Pippa sucks down the tears, steadies herself as she moves closer still, as Morgana moves to brush against her ankles. At least one of the pair has some sense. "But I'm here now," Pippa continues, lowering herself to the edge of the bed beside Hecate and reaching out a tentative hand, offering Hecate's shoulder the barest touch. "What can I do?" For a moment, it's just Hecate's shaking breaths and the whisper of fabric as Morgana weaves and weaves below them, her quick figure eight pattern slowed, stopping to rub her cheek and sides against their ankles, without a purr or a meow to be heard. And then, grasping at her watch with trembling hands, Hecate purses her lips and sighs. "I don't know," she whispers, shaking her head slightly. "I don't know." "Okay," Pippa murmurs, gripping Hecate's arm gently. Okay. Well, let's start with your hair and go from there. You've got a few pins stuck in it. Hecate hesitates, then nods. Loath to use any magic she doesn't have to with Hecate feeling like this, Pippa stands again, fetches the brush from earlier, finds the dish for her bobby pins. She gathers a few up that made it to the table, but not into the dish, slips out of her shoes and eases onto the bed behind Hecate. In the long span of silence that follows, she slips the pins out, untwists the bun, leaves the plate in to keep the hair out of Hecate's face, but brushes out the length of it with long and careful movements. She had loved Hecate's hair when they were girls, loved brushing it out for her, plaiting it back before bed. And she loves it now, treats it with care, brushes it out until it's smooth as silk, and hopes that the care she takes with it translates. Hopes that Hecate understands just how much Pippa cares about her. Laying the brush aside, Pippa gathers Hecate's hair up, runs her fingers down the underside from her scalp down to the tips. She catches not a single tangle, not even in the densest curls. And so, satisfied, she moves it out of the way, settling into up her back, gently, both hands tracing patterns up and down her spine, across her shoulders, her scapulae. Hecate cries out, a horrid strangled sound, body going erect and rigid, and Pippa yanks her hands away. Hecate? She can't quite keep the worry from clouding her voice. When Hecate doesn't respond, she clenches her fingers, uncertain what to do with her hands. Hecate, did I hurt you? She asks unbelievingly. She doesn't know how she might have done so, but nothing else has changed. No, Hecate says. No, it's fine. She doesn't sound fine. Pippa considers for a moment. Then what happened? Nothing. Hecate, that was hardly nothing. I said, it's nothing, Hecate spits. Pippa winces at the tone and at the rigidness of her, wonders if she shouldn't just leave. But just leaving has never been an easy thing for Pippa, not where Hecate is concerned. Hiccup, please, she begs, tentatively reaching out, afraid to touch her again. I want to help. Let me help. Tell me how I can, Hecate. Hecate sighs. Pippa watches the breath leave her with trepidation. You can't. The words are so quiet, Pippa almost misses them. She thinks she might cry. How do you know? Hecate seems to consider this for a long span, and Pippa lets her. Sits in silence as Hecate straightens a little, rolling her shoulders out gingerly. Hecate? Pippa prompts. Always carefully quiet, calm. Because I've lived with it for 30 years, Pippa, Hecate replies suddenly, softly, not with anger, but resolute and certain. Pippa blinks, stares at Hecate's back, and then carefully she pleads, tell me, Hiccup. The silence swells between them, but she doesn't ask again. She only kneels, hands in her own lap, and waits. For Hecate to explain or to push her away, she does not know, but she waits. I hurt Pippa, Hecate almost whispers, rewarding Pippa's patience with a confession. Every day, everywhere, it's manageable with magic, with potions. But while I was unconscious, I didn't have my potions. And without magic, even the simplest tasks. She pauses, breathes deeply, and Pippa can tell she's trying not to cry. The rest spills out in a rush. Only Ada knew before, and now you do. And Miss Baum will have to know because I have... maybe 10 days of potion left, and it takes 3 days to brew, and I can't do it myself. It takes everything Pippa has not to reach out to touch her. She wants to, so badly, but doesn't know if what she did to hurt her, if she might do it again unintentionally. So instead of asking about the potion, or Hecate's history with whatever this condition may be, she moves around Hecate, onto the floor. "Can you show me what I did, Hecate? How I hurt you?" Hecate gazes at her for a long moment, lips drawn into a tight line, then nods slightly, eyes damp. Pippa smiles at her, a small, encouraging smile, before turning around, kneeling in front of Hecate. "Morgana," Hecate murmurs. Pippa hears the cat give a small meow and shuffle out of the way, before Hecate moves forward a little in the bed, hands lighting on Pippa's shoulders, as if she's just as afraid of touching Pippa as Pippa is of touching her. "Here," she murmurs, brushing her fingers over the tops of Pippa's scapulae. Pippa shivers at the touch, wonders what it must be like to find any of this unpleasant. "You touched here, like this," and Hecate brushes her hands across Pippa's back, lets her thumbs pass over the spot with just a little pressure. "Does that hurt?" "No, not at all," Pippa answers softly. "For me, it's tender," Hecate says haltingly. "Most days, when the pain is under control, it's okay. Some days it doesn't hurt at all, and usually it's just the right size that causes so much trouble." Pippa waits in silence for a moment before asking, "Are there other places?" "Yes. Show me." Hecate's fingers flutter against Pippa's back, floating up to her shoulders. "Here," she says, two fingers putting a little pressure near the middle of her shoulder. "Again, usually the right side. And here." Her fingers move past Pippa's hairline, finding pressure points at the base of her skull. "Both sides. I think I've forgotten what it feels like not to have a headache." "Oh, hiccup. Don't. Please." Pippa swallows at the request and nods. Hecate's hand trail back down to her shoulders, settling a finger and thumb into the tender points she's named. "Sometimes the pain radiates," she says, and her fingers splay out until her hands lay outstretched along Pippa's traps. Even through the fabric of her dress, a chill races up her spine as Hecate moves her hands, tracing Pippa's shoulder blades downwards. Then, voice soft, Hecate instructs, "Come up." Pippa rises obediently on her knees, shuffling awkwardly back to stay better within Hecate's reach, and Hecate's hands go trailing ever so carefully down, stopping at her lower back. "And here," she says, when she finds spots just at the base of Pippa's back. And then her touch is gone. Pippa hears the brush of fabric, knows that she has her hands in her lap. She pivots, moving to face Hecate, and covers the other witch's splayed fingers with her own hands. "You said you hurt everywhere," Pippa reminds her. "Are there other places like those?" "Yes." "You can show me." Hecate hesitates. They are less relevant at the moment. Pippa parts her lips to speak, then stops to consider. Watches Hecate for a moment, but Hecate has her chin down, not quite meeting her eye. "Would you like me to rub your back, Hiccup?" Pippa asks softly, slowly. "Being careful of those places, of course. Would that help?" Hecate's eyes flutter shut. "Pippa, I couldn't..." "They're yes or no questions, darling," Pippa murmurs, catches herself in the endearment too late. Their eyes meet then, Hecate gazing at Pippa through her lashes. She gives a tiny nod. Yes, she says, voice just as small as the movement. And then, with a little more certainty, please. Okay, why don't you lie down? On your stomach. Would that be okay, Hiccup? Hecate nods again after a moment of hesitation, but the movement comes with more certainty. She slides her fingers down her watch chain, and Pippa extends a hand for it, palm open. I'll take that, if you like. It feels like a slow and tentative dance. Hecate carefully removes the chain, smooths her hair down as she passes the watch to Pippa, who folds her fingers carefully around the cool metal, and circles the bed to place it at the bedside, while Hecate arranges herself on her stomach, arms wrapped around a pillow. Morgana leaps onto the bed too, settles at Hecate's feet, with what Pippa wants to think is an approving look. Pippa settles at her side again, leaning over Hecate's body, trailing her fingers down her spine, wishing there was something more she could do, because she does not doubt that this is going to be a long process, that adjusting will continue to be a struggle for Hecate, that her definition of normal is going to change fundamentally for however long it takes her to regain her magic fully. She wants to wrap Hecate up in her arms and tell her everything is going to be okay. She wants things to be the way they were when they were girls, wants to fix this with a held hand, a warm embrace, soft cheek kisses, and softer words followed by ringing laughter. But they are not girls, and Pippa is no longer a safe harbor for Hecate, not a port of call, not a hand to hold. Even now, like this, she isn't sure if Hecate would ask for her, given the option. And she aches for that, wants so badly for Hecate to want her, to think of her when she needs someone to lean on, to expect, and trust that Pippa will be there for her when she is at her worst. Because Pippa would be. 100,000 times over, she would be. She'd fly to Hecate's side in a heartbeat, just to hold her hand and whisper to her that everything is going to be okay. Tell me about your potion, Pippa murmurs. Could I make it? I don't know. Maybe? You have it written down, of course. In a journal. An old one. On the shelf behind my desk. Is it all right if I summon it over? Pippa asks. She can't stand the idea of upsetting Hecate in any way. Wants to make sure using magic is all right. When Hecate nods assent, she focuses on what she wants, and a battered old leather-bound black journal comes flying into her hand. She keeps tracing careful paths along Hecate's spine with one hand, flipping the journal open with the other. A long crimson ribbon marks a page about 2/3 of the way through. She finds the potion there, and Hecate's precise, spindly penmanship, glances it over once, then reads the instructions more carefully. The instructions are complicated, but seem doable. She eyes the ingredient list again, paying it a little more attention. It's a mess of ingredients that don't seem to fit. Pippa's no expert in medical potions, but she sees one ingredient she recognizes as an antispasmodic, and several others most used to facilitate clear thoughts and positive mindset. She frowns, wondering if she hasn't somehow managed to acquire the wrong journal. Hiccup, is this right? Is page 63 marked with a red ribbon? Are the pages after it blank? Pippa pauses in her movements, hand resting on Hecate's back. She flips forward a few pages, then back. Notes many of the same ingredients, similar instructions. Red ink indicating changes. Hecate, this whole journal. There was another before it. Frowning, Pippa gazes at the journal in her hand, fingers stroking absently up Hecate's spine again. Have you spent 30 years perfecting this potion? Hecate is quiet for a moment before answering. I haven't altered it in several years. Taken aback, Pippa stares down at the journal. 25 years? She breathes. Hecate. I suppose you could call it my life's work, Hecate mutters dryly, taking Pippa by surprise with a rare, subtle humor in a moment like this. Of course, I may be the only person who will ever use it. It's as Pippa is considering her response that she notices the trails of pinkish red along Hecate's back, paths of magic where her hand has touched. She peers up at Hecate's face, but can't get a proper look at her expression. Is this all right, Hecate? She asks cautiously. This, she repeats, stretching her fingers out over Hecate's back, scratching softly at the fabric of Hecate's nightgown to indicate the movement of her hands. Yes, Hecate replies after a moment. So Pippa keeps touching, keeps letting the magic light her fingertips as she strokes Hecate's back, keeps doing so until Hecate's breathing is level and deep and slow, until Pippa feels herself drifting off as well. She never means to stay with Hecate, really, but the way her body moves as she breathes is lulling, touching her like this, gently, warmly, with as much love as she can hold in the palm of her hand. So pleasant, so satisfying. She finds herself on her side, an arm looped carefully over Hecate's back, and she is asleep before she has thought this through. Hecate wakes with a weight across the small of her back. She thinks, at first, that it must be Morgana. But Morgana has always been the sort to find a spot near Hecate's feet during the night. Always close by, but allowing each of them to have their space. She's only ever slept on Hecate, on those rare occasions when, as a teenager, Hecate had fallen asleep cradling the familiar against her chest for comfort. And then there's a little noise, a quiet snuffling, and a sleepy nonsense mumble. And Hecate knows that Pippa is beside her, that it's Pippa's arm that rests across her body. Pippa has always fit so easily into Hecate's empty spaces, the spare inches in her bed, the adjacent seat in the library, on the other side of a shared cauldron, tucked beneath her chin for a hug. She fits perfectly here now, the weight of her arm foreign, but nestled safely and comfortably above her tender points. And for the barest moment, Hecate forgets the loss of her magic, the failure of the stone, the difficult term, the troubles with Agatha. She forgets her pain, and she forgets the 30 years between them. She lifts her head. Her body rebels, but when does it not at this time of morning? She blinks blearily at Pippa as she turns to face her. And she sees the frown, the troubled knit to Pippa's brow, the downturn corner of her mouth. And in that moment it all comes back to her in a rush. Her heart clenches. She wants more than anything to soothe Pippa's furrowed brow, to kiss the frown from her lips. But Pippa was right. It's Hecate's fault. Her fault it's been 33 years since she last woke up with Pippa nestled against her side. Since she blushed as Pippa flew into her arms and kissed her cheek. Since she realized that she wanted more from Pippa than she could possibly ever ask of her. Because Pippa could not possibly want the same thing. She turns away again, feels the pressure building behind her eyes, and doesn't have the strength to resist. She curls up on her side and lets the tears come, because she doesn't deserve any of what Pippa is offering her, because she feels helpless and afraid, because it's only been 3 days, really, and she feels absolutely absurd and childish for it, But the absence of her magic, however temporarily, leaves her feeling like there's a hopeless void inside of her, and that her magic should be tied so intimately to her physical constitution is something she had never expected, and a grim outlook indeed. She's useless to everyone now, including herself, and she doesn't remotely deserve the arm that tightens around her waist, the quiet noise Pippa makes as the weight shifts in the bed behind her, the way Pippa's voice sounds so sad and gentle, even when heavy with sleep, as she moves closer, hiccup falling from her lips like it hasn't been 33 years at all. Hecate sobs, curls more tightly into herself, presses her face into the pillow. "It's okay, Hiccup," Pippa says softly, leaning onto one elbow. Her hand glides down Hecate's arm, folds over it as her fingers wrap around Hecate's palm. "I've got you." Pippa's fingers card through her hair, her body curling snugly against Hecate's back as she tilts her forehead against the side of Hecate's head, enveloping her, drawing her in. Hecate lets out another ragged sob. "It's too much, too much. She doesn't deserve this." But Pippa only settles in against her, holds her close, murmuring into her ear, "It's all right, Hiccup. It's okay. I'm here. I've got you. I've got you." Hecate believes her, despite everything, and in spite of herself, she believes her.